Yo, what's up? Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Our buddy Clint Yates will stop by at 1040. Kirk Morrison, our other pal, will join us at 1130. And, of course, crosstalk with Mr. 10-Day Scott Kaplan at 1140-ish, let's call it. Maybe like 45, since we have Kirk and we have a guest at 1130 today. We got some interesting days today, some interesting birthdays we'll get to in a second. But, and look, I'm going to promise you that today we're going to have a lot of fun, but I do want to have a serious conversation to start the show, okay? I think that on this show, we try our best to kind of create an environment where we generally like to have fun, we like to be open with the audience, but also there are times to be serious. And over the last, 36 hours or so, there have been some comments made by DeSean Jackson and one of our former colleagues here, Steven Jackson, about the Jewish community. So at this point, we all know, I believe, what was said. DeSean Jackson, in essence, was trying to make some comments about the African-American social justice situation and used a quote from Hitler, which, let's be real, never a good idea. Now, DeSean Jackson quickly apologized and has taken it upon himself to educate himself about this. Now, Steven Jackson, in the immediacy of the original commentary and post, backed up DeSean Jackson, Steven Jackson of the NBA fame, of course, and then doubled down on that in the interim between DeSean Jackson's post and the apology. And what Steven was basically trying to convey was that DeSean is speaking the truth. And then he went into some sort of conspiracy conversation that I don't even want to go down that particular path. And here's what I would say. I've worked with Steven Jackson. I know Steven Jackson a little bit. Steven Jackson has always been great to me. Steven Jackson has never, ever made me feel like I am not a good person or a good human being or someone that he wouldn't want to be around. So I was surprised, disappointed, and a little heartbroken, to be honest, when I saw those comments. Now, since then, Steven Jackson has also since apologized. He was on Don Lemon's show last night on CNN. And while I'm kind of laying this all out for you, I kind of now want to play some of these sounds to kind of really just kind of accentuate, I think, the way most people felt about this. And you all know how I feel about Michael Wilbon. Michael Wilbon, to me, is an American sports treasure. He is the OG of journalists, obviously a journalist of color as well, and really just one of the kindest, most thoughtful human beings I've ever come across. And he doesn't mince words. And here's what he said yesterday on PTI about the entire DeSean Jackson, Steven Jackson situation.
Well, my thoughts are pretty simple about this, Frank. This is not tolerable. And you know, I'm never, if ever, in favor of when somebody's on an active roster of suspension or fine or firing. No. Ridicule. Public ridicule. It undermines everything Steven Jackson said so eloquently on behalf of Black Lives Matter. He has no credibility now. He's undermined his own previous good work with this garbage, and it's garbage. And so I know Steven Jackson. I like him. And if I was sitting with him now, I've worked with him, I would say, Steven, stop. You're wrong. You're not speaking any truth. You're going to have to become more familiar with the truth via history. And so let's read some. We'll read it together. This is insane. You are ruining. You're just ruining weeks of actually trying to appeal to people on one level and then bringing your own bigotry and prejudice in at a time where no one can afford to see that. No one can afford to have it, to entertain it. Stop it. And I don't know if he has people around him who will do that or not, Frank.
So here's what I would say. Clearly Wilbon, I think, nailed it, right? And again, as I mentioned, since then, Steven Jackson has since apologized as well. And what I would say is this, before we get to the Steven Jackson apology last night on Don Lemon on CNN, to me, this is very simple. Like, if I, you know, I haven't spoken to Steven. I don't speak to him regularly. I speak to him when I see him on set, whenever he's been on the show, which he's been very kind enough to be a part of over the years. And again, much like Michael Wilbon, I like Steven Jackson, which is why this was surprising, disappointing, heartbreaking, all those words. And again, I want to give him at least some credit for understanding what he did wrong. And also DeSean Jackson. Because look, while I think the outrage was certainly justified, I think that in this world, we all need to try to understand each other. And I know it's not always easy, man. And I tweeted this out yesterday. And it was just a very simple message, okay? It was very simple. And it was that it really shouldn't be that hard to love, empathize, and respect one another. It should be fundamental to our core beliefs as human beings, regardless of our backgrounds. I don't think that that's some sort of controversial take. And I would also add to this. You can't rank suffering and tragedy. And that's in essence what DeSean was trying to do. Or, I mean, look, it certainly came across that way. And Steven backing him up also came across that way. You can't rank suffering and tragedy. Suffering and tragedy is suffering and tragedy. Plain and simple. And I think that that message, to Wilbon's point, can't get lost here. And I think that's the easiest way to describe it. Look, we're all talking about achieving equality. All of us. As the human race. Particularly in this country at this particular moment. And the definition of equality is very simple. The state of being equal, especially in status, rights, and opportunities. Think about that. It doesn't get any more simple than that. It just means fairness. Impartiality. And I think that that's what we should be trying to achieve here. And ranking suffering and tragedy doesn't do it. That's just not it. It's that simple. So yesterday, Steven went on CNN with Don Lemon. Again, DeSean Jackson had already apologized. He put out a video. He spoke through the team. The team condemned his commentary. And Steven took it upon himself to go on Don Lemon's show on CNN and said this yesterday.
I apologize for using the wrong words. As I first stated when I got on here, I could have changed my words. But it's nothing that said that I support any of that. It's nothing that I said that I hate anybody. I apologize for my words and I could have switched up, but that's the end of it. I know I love everybody and that's how I always stand. And I'm not going to let anybody demean my character because I'm not standing up here apologizing for a job. I don't work for nobody. I'm apologizing because what I stand for is love for all who have love for all. And I mean that. And that's just why I draw the line.
And if he would have said that when he said his video, when he posted his first video about DeSean, I don't think we'd be here. You know what I mean? Because he explained himself in a 6.5-minute interview on Don Lemon much better than he did in that Instagram post or even the second Instagram post that he did with, I don't know who he was on. He did an Instagram live with someone who happens to be Jewish. I don't know who the person is. And I think that, and they were having the conversation. They were hashing it out live on Instagram. Now, while I appreciate the transparency on that, I don't know if that's the way I would have advised him to go about it either, because then it came across like he was doubling down. But yesterday, on with a professional interviewer who asked the pertinent questions, who pressed him when he needed to be pressed, he was contrite and came across in a fashion that at least made us comprehend where his mindset is. And again, had he just done that from the get-go and not ranked suffering and tragedy like Deshaun did, I think that we wouldn't be here in this situation. But again, I hope that we can all learn from this as human beings, regardless of race, ethnicity, or religion. Equality, again, is a very simple definition. The state of being equal, especially in status, rights, and opportunities. Fairness, impartiality. Okay? That's it. It's just as simple as it gets. And again, just don't rank tragedies and suffering, man. It's just, it's not cool, right? And I think now everyone has learned from that and understands that. Greg Bergman, you are of the Jewish faith. You have consumed all of it, from the initial commentary to the apologies to the explanations. Where do you lie on all of this now that it is all kind of been, for lack of a better phrase, right, been discussed and dissected?
I think you, the way that you just phrased it, was done very, very well. So thank you for putting it in all in that way. I thought that a lot of the people, that Michael Wilbon was fantastic. I thought Don Lemon was fantastic. And Julian Edelman's his Twitter post that he put out today was also just the exact right way to do it. It's a very sticky situation where we have gone through so much as a society over the last 6 months. I mean, and just in LA and everywhere, to just all the things that have been going through, and to add in anti-Semitism to what everybody's going through is just, it's not necessary, and it's taking away from the meanings that have, that we've been trying to get through, is that equality is for, is what is needed to happen, and that how everybody is equal. And I'm disappointed that this is being brought up. I'm disappointed in Deshaun Jackson and Steven Jackson for feeling the way they did. I appreciate that they apologized for it. But I thought that Julian Edelman asking him, Deshaun Jackson, to go to the Holocaust Museum, and then they also go to the African American Museum, and then discussing it and having and deciding and talking amongst each other of how the right way to go about everything is, and understanding each side's points, was a very elegant way to do it. And I just hope that once we can start getting past all of this and really get to a true place where everybody can just respect each other.
Yeah, agreed. Very well said. Laura, did you have any thoughts on just kind of the way all this stuff transpired?
I think it's hard. I mean, obviously I'm not Jewish, I'm Latina, so we have our own problems, but I wanted to address something that you said, George. You said, let's not rank sufferings. And I think you saying that was so beautifully put, because sometimes when we are in communities and minorities, we tend to do that. You know, we tend to say, well, mine goes through this versus yours goes through that. And it's like, why do we want to win that race? You know, why do we want to win the who suffered more race? So I love that you said that, because I think sometimes we need to hear that. We need to hear that, yo, let's not do that. We don't need to win that race. You know, let's just come together and build each other up instead of trying to step on each other and say, well, I got it worse. You know, and I appreciate you saying that.
Well, to your point, I will now take it inward between, you know, our community, right? The Latino community. We do that all the time.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, whether it's Mexican versus Cuban, or Dominican versus Puerto Rican, or Honduran versus Guatemalan. You know what I'm saying? Like, we cannibalize ourselves as a community all the time. And it's the thing that drives me insane. As a society as a whole, as we just discussed right now, in this particular instance, between the African-American community, or members of the African-American community and members of the Jewish community, I don't want to make sure, you know, I don't want to use a broad brush here, because right. not everyone feels the same way as Stephen and Deshaun initially did. And clearly they've since apologized and understand the error of their ways, right? Mm-hmm. But and understanding, as Stephen pointed out at the end there, that, right, it's about love. We should love each other, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, ranking tragedies is not a good idea, or ranking, you know, the paths is not a good idea. Like, suffering and tragedy are suffering and tragedy. And I think that in the Latino community, and it's one thing I'd like to be kind of focus on with what we do here, right, is, mm-hmm. man, like in LA, 50% of this community is Latino. And look, the overwhelming majority is Mexican. Right. And that's awesome. And I feel like we should, but we should all be like together on stuff too. And I feel like sometimes maybe through the history and politics of our families, right, and the upbringings, and because I feel like there's less of that as the generations have gone on, mm-hmm. but in the old school, right, like maybe the great grandparents, the people who originally arrived in this country and things like that, I think that you have some of that. But to your point, you know, it's not just the African-American community versus the Jewish community. It's inward within all the individual communities as well. You know what I mean? Because there's nuances between them as well.
Right. That's true. And I think us understanding each other, like really doing the work within ourselves, allows us to do the work outwards, you know?
Yeah, and, 100% agree.
And I think sometimes it's hard to do that, though. Sometimes people don't want to do that work because, like you said, you don't want to admit to certain things that you might have said or certain things you might have done when you were younger. You know, you didn't know. You weren't educated about certain things. So doing that work is tough, but doing that work is what's going to allow us to move forward and progress together within our communities and then uniting with other communities.
Very well said, both of you. All right. So I wanted to make sure we get that off the top and discuss it. And if you want to weigh in on it, 877-710-ESPN. You know I like to have the conversation amongst ourselves here. 877-710-3776. That's Straight Talk Wireless, running on America's best networks, saving you up to 50%. Then the big boys, unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data and 2G for just $45 a month. No contract, no compromise. Straight Talk Wireless, again, no contract, no compromise. But coming up next, we're going to get into sports because Kenny Smith has said the thing. And not only did he say the thing, but he said the thing that's going to drive Lakers fans doubly mad, doubly angry. And I love the Jet, Kenny the Jet Smith. But man, I do not know where he's coming from on this. So we're going to get into some sports with because of my man Kenny Smith. We'll do that in 2 minutes. Sedano with you on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. It is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. All right, so Clint Yates is going to join us at 10:40. Clint Yates, as he does every Thursday, sticks around for a couple of segments. And then our buddy Kirk Morrison will stop by at 11:30. So we will chat and talk some football with him. So I wanted to bring this up yesterday, but we kind of ran out of time because we started talking about the lineup and we wanted to make fun of Greg, basically, for the last 30 minutes of the show. We will take some calls on the initial conversation we were having about DeSean and Steven Jackson and my thoughts on just not ranking suffering, right? Like, I just think that's not ideal. So we'll get to your calls here in a second. But Kenny the Jet Smith, who is my man, okay? I used to have, back in the day, Kenny the Jet Smith on every single week on my radio show, okay? Years ago, before I worked in LA, Kenny the Jet Smith, okay, was my dude, okay? We follow each other on Twitter. We communicate occasionally. I know he lives in LA. I love him. He is, to me, one of the best analysts in all of sports. I know Barkley, who's my guy too, gets a lot of love. But look, Barkley says the crazy fun stuff and you know, makes you laugh. But Kenny is really the guy dissecting the stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like giving you the meat and potatoes when it comes to your basketball. But I don't know if I could stand with Kenny the Jet Smith after he gave his top 10 to Complex Sports. Laura, do you have the audio? All right, let me hear Kenny the Jet Smith. Go ahead.
Why is LeBron James not in your top five?
LeBron James is in my top 10.
Okay.
But he's 10, possibly.
Whoa.
Is Shaq in your top 10?
Shaq's in my top 10.
Is Kobe?
No, Kobe's not in my top 10. Mm. Kobe's like 11. Magic, Larry Bird.
Magic, Larry, yeah.
Larry Bird. Who did I just say?
Archibald has to be in your, Oscar and Nate Archibald are in your top 10.
It's so much easier to score now that it makes it hard to judge guys' ability because it's so easy to score. Like, I was a good scorer. I wasn't even a great scorer. I averaged 17 points a game at my highest, I think 18. In that year, I probably would average 26, 25. he's great, but for me, this is in my opinion, he's not in the top five of all time.
That's kind of wild, though. That is pretty wild, Kenny.
Yeah, I mean, man, like, I don't even know where to begin. First of all, he basically said maybe LeBron is number 10 in my list. And he said Kobe's not in his top 10. Greg Bergman, Laker boy, let it out. Go ahead, because I know you want to say something.
That is the most asinine thing I've ever heard somebody say, to not even put him in the top 10. I mean, look, this is basically just old. He's just being the old guy saying, get off my lawn. He's talking about guys like, look, great players, like Tiny Nate Archibald. Like, come on, man. Like, I get it. But look at what you're getting from Kobe Bryant on a yearly basis, every single year. I don't know what metric he is going by. It's just an eye test. I mean, if you look at anything, Kobe Bryant is now the fourth leading scorer of all time. He was averaged right around 5 assists a game. He got rebounds when he needed to get rebounds. He was, I think, a 10-time defensive top 10 first team All NBA. He's up there, one of the best defenders of all time. It's
okay.
Just
all right,
nonsense.
Listen. Take a breath, because you didn't even make sense when you were trying to give his defensive accolades. You were like, he's a top 10, 10 defensive All NBA team.
You understood what I was trying to say.
Yeah, you need to calm down. And you got mad at me when I said Kobe's the 9th best player in NBA history. He doesn't even have it. He says 11th. That's outside the top 10, okay? I didn't have Kobe outside the top 10. But, I mean, he basically said maybe LeBron 10. Like, it wasn't even like, yeah, he's 10. He's like 10, maybe. And then Kobe, not in my top 10, maybe 11. You know, like, and I love Kenny, and I know that when you're speaking extemporaneously, sometimes it's challenging, right? But it sounds like he's put some thought into this. But so, look, I'm with you, okay? I believe in evolution when it comes to athletes, okay? Players evolve. Medicine evolves. Training evolves, right? Recovery evolves. Players are bigger, stronger, faster. That's life, okay? You know, the Raiders of 1983, who won the Super Bowl with Marcus Allen, cannot beat the team that lost the Tuck Rule game. You know what I'm saying? Like that 20 years later. Like the players on that Raiders team are, you know, in 2001 are bigger, stronger, faster. Which, by the way, the players on that 2001 team are not as big and strong as fast as even today's Raiders, who aren't even that good of a team. So just that in itself, right? And basketball's no different. I'm not trying to diminish Bill Russell, Wilt Chamberlain. Those guys were men amongst boys in that era, okay? But I've had these conversations with fools on social media for years about, like, John Havlicek, who Hondo was a great player, as strong as could be in his era. He would look tiny today against the players of today's NBA, right? And that's just a fact. There are a few outliers to that. Kareem, Magic Johnson, right? You know, James Worthy. It doesn't mean those guys couldn't evolve their game if they played today. I'm not saying that either. But if we're just taking them back then versus the guys now, that's life. Life evolves, to your point. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. I know people are going to wild out about this, so feel free to hit us up. Let me go to Dan in Sherman Oaks, who wants to talk about the initial conversation we started the show off with about Steven and Deshaun. Dan, good morning.
Good morning, George. Thank you for taking my call, as always. You have a great show, mi socio. Listen, I am a Cuban Jew who has 3 adult African-American sons, and I have 4 African-American grandchildren, and this touches me in every which way. Growing up in Boston in the 60s, the Confederate flag was like looking at death. Robert E. Lee, they were trying to leave the country, make their own country, and that flag was the worst thing we could see, with the exception of Hitler's swastika, who he wiped out 6 million Jews. So, you know, all this thing about it touches all of us. And when people ask me, you know, what race are you? I'm a member of the human race, George.
Yep.
And, you know, me encantan los sándwiches cubanos, my lox and bagels, and my ribs and beans and potato salad. Hey, man, we have to be a little bit wiser. And we all bleed the same on the inside. And you judge a man's or a woman's character by what's between the ears and in their chest, and not by what's on the outside. And, you know, man, can't we all just get along? I know we all have differences, but the problem I found growing up, if I had a dollar for every time I was called an effing Jew or a spick or an N lover, I'd be richer than Donald Trump right now. Okay. And my gosh, the problem is we are all so afraid of each other. And when we finally put our minds together and our heads together, we grew up very much the same. The Christmases and all the, you know, the sports. I mean, my three boys all played college sports, for God's sakes. And I coached, and my teams, they would always ask, how come you guys win so much? I said, geez, I'm just lucky, I guess. My team pitchers would have Hispanics, Blacks, Whites, Asians. I was looking for the best players. And if you look at the pitchers, the team pitchers of a lot of the teams in the leagues, the African-American coach's team was predominantly that. The Hispanic-Latino coach was predominantly that. The Anglo-white coach, his team was predominantly that. And we got to see what's inside a human being.
Yeah, no, listen, Dan, you're 100% right. Thank you, my brother. Take care. Stay healthy. Stay safe. Look, you're right. It's about, as you pointed out, it should be a meritocracy, right? It shouldn't be about keeping your cultures together. And by the way, that isn't a bad thing. Like, mixing cultures is a good thing. It helps people understand each other's culture. My wife is white. White as white could be from the valley here in Northridge, okay? And, you know, there was a lot for her to learn, you know? And vice versa a little bit, you know, on my end too. Mostly more for her, you know, of marrying into a Hispanic Cuban household. You know, there's a lot of different things. But I think that that's what it should be. You know what I mean? And, you know, my brother-in-law is married to an Asian woman. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's Korean. Like, it just, that's how it is. You learn about each other's cultures that way. I'm with you. Like, it's silly to kind of insulate each other. We should be more, you know, we shouldn't be exclusionary, is my point. Ace is in Inglewood. Ace, what's up, man?
Yeah, man, I totally agree with you, man. We definitely got to, you know, learn each other's history. That's the key. Learn each other's history.
No doubt.
Yeah, so I agree with you on that. But, George.
Yes, sir.
I need some information.
Okay.
Why nobody is talking about Kawhi Leonard not going to Orlando? You know, it's like every single time Kawhi, oh, he has a nick. He has a little small injury. Oh, they don't talk about it. Oh, you know, they're going to beat the Lakers. You know, Kawhi is a saver. But why is they not talking about this?
Okay, it's a great question. You know what it is? Here's what I'll tell you, Ace. Kawhi, his circle is so tight that nobody knows, like, other than what Chris Haynes reported yesterday, and I know our own Om Yamasuk of ESPN confirmed it, that there's some sort of family situation and that he's going to tend to that, and then he's going to go to Orlando from there, that he should be joining the team in the next couple of days. But because his circle's so tight, Ace, it's kind of like when his free agency was happening. Like, there weren't a lot of people that knew what was going on. People started to find out because of the Paul George aspect of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, once he started opening up his circle, that's when news started to trickle out. But before that, there was a reason nobody knew what the hell Kawhi was going to do, because there's only a couple of people in his circle.
That man's good.
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
Good. But, I mean, I'm just saying, like, you know, like, this comparison, you know, the Clippers are going to beat the Lakers. Like, you know, I'm getting sick and tired of that talk, man. Like, LeBron James took – he had 2 years off, man. Like they forget about what LeBron did in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, yeah. We got to stop giving this man so much credit, man. Like, you know, he did take that Toronto. He had a great run. I'm not trying to, dismiss
him. Knock him.
That.
You're not knocking him.
Yeah, I'm trying to knock him. But, right. You know, the Warriors also got hurt, you know, and this has been a talk this whole time. Oh, Kawhi Leonard, he's like, come on, man. Let's see what you got, bro, like when LeBron is there. And yes, you got those two games. I know I'm going off the ledge right now, but I'm just getting tired of this Clipper Laker talk.
No, I do think
you already know.
I do think, Ace, that you're right. Thank that there
you,
are people.
I listen to you up there, man. Thank you, brother.
All right, man. Thank you, Ace. Appreciate it. Stay healthy. Stay safe. I'm with you. There are people that have forgotten about LeBron a little bit, which is why it's funny. LeBron tweeted or not tweeted, put on Instagram that revenge season continues. You know, he's not dumb either. He hears what you hear. You know what I mean? And he. You know, I don't think he'll come out and say it that way, but I feel like I speak LeBron, right? I can interpret some of the things that he says and does and why he does them. Again, I don't know him like that, but I've been around him enough and covered him long enough to understand. And I don't blame him for it because I would feel the same way. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Real quick, I put out something on Twitter, and I put two things out on Twitter, which are interesting, and they're getting all sorts of love one way or another. There's getting a lot of reaction. The first one was basketball related, so I want to tell you what I put up. I just asked a very simple question, and I want to ask you guys this question before I go to the calls again. If you had your druthers, Greg Bergman, what is the NBA Finals matchup that we never saw that you wish we could have seen? Now, I will tell you what the people have responded with, but I want to hear yours first.
It would easily be Kobe versus LeBron.
In any of those years.
Right. Like 2009 was the one where they played the Magic instead of...
Nine, right, right.
Yeah,
or, you know, there was the year people thought that the Lakers and Heat would play, and then they lost. The Lakers lost to Dallas.
Yeah, that would have been a good one too, but I think when he was with Cleveland was probably more.
Are you
so
saying that simply because you think that you're saying that because you know the Lakers probably would have won that series? Is what you're saying?
I mean, they probably would have, but that was also a different era for the Lakers. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that was a different era for the Lakers in terms of where they were.
The Lakers would have beaten LeBron's Cavs team in like five or six games.
Right, but the Heat team that wasn't the same.
That was a toss-up scenario, probably there.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it would have been fun to see, but you have a big three versus basically, you know, Kobe and Powell. So
right, and you had Lamar, like, and Bynum. It's not like you didn't have a bunch of dudes.
Yeah, no, it was still good. Yeah,
there was a lot. I would say that Laker team was way deeper than that Heat team at that time because that was only the first Heat team. They didn't have Battier yet. They didn't have Ray Allen yet. They didn't have Birdman yet.
Well, that was not having those guys because Battier was very good against Kobe defensively.
Right, Kobe. Yeah. I mean, look,
what year
nobody
was
stopping.
Year.
It was the 2010-11 season, the year that Bynum clotheslined J.J. Barea.
That was fantastic. But, yeah, no, I think the Kobe – and any time that you could see Kobe versus LeBron, that was the finals matchup that everybody would have loved to see, I would have loved to have seen, and we just never got it.
Laura? Oh, she's answering calls, sorry. So I'm with you. The most reaction I've gotten is – clearly, LeBron versus Kobe any year, okay?
Yep.
And but it is, the two the most that are the most are 09, which is the year you referenced, yep. And the 10-11, which is the one I referenced. Some people are saying they wish they would have seen the Dwight Nash thing work out to then have seen them play the full Heat squad, right? Which was the Ray Allen, Battier, Birdman group with those guys. That would have been interesting if the Lakers would have been healthy and they would have fulfilled the potential we all thought they would have had, you know?
Yeah, and that team was playing extremely well down the stretch. They were the best second half team in all of basketball at that time. So it would have been a very good finals matchup.
So those are the top three that I've seen. I would add one because this one, and this one was mentioned too, but it also would have required LeBron to stay one more year with Miami. I would have liked to have seen the LeBron Heat teams have the chance to add another player, which they would have had LeBron stayed. And play the Warriors of Draymond, Steph, and Klay.
That would have been a really good matchup, too. That's a big three versus big three.
Yeah.
So
I would have liked to have seen that, too.
Yeah, because having every LeBron Steph matchup was really, really good basketball.
Yeah, yeah. And that first one was kind of lopsided a little bit. You know what I'm saying? So it's now Kyrie got hurt, right? There was that too. Kevin Love also got dinged up. I still think the Warriors would have won that series. Like, even with those guys healthy, it would have been a better series. But just the veteran, like a young Warriors team against a veteran team, because basically outside of LeBron, that Cavs team was super young too. You know what I'm saying? Like, as far, or inexperienced is the way I would call it, right? Like, I think that would have been, that's why if LeBron would have stuck around one more year and played a young Warriors team, I am curious to see how that would have gone.
Yeah, it would have been a really good matchup, but I think the best out of all of those has to be Kobe, LeBron.
Yeah,
I mean, I think honestly
it would have been the 10-11 group against each other, because the Lakers would have smashed the Cavs team. When Mo Williams is your second best player, that wouldn't have been, I don't think that would have been competitive.
No, it probably would have. That team was just flowing real well right now. They just lost to the Celtics, so they were, you know, coming back with a vengeance. So no, yeah. It would have been a beatdown. Is there anything further back you would have liked to have seen, though? Like, something, would you like Jordan to have played somebody else?
I would have liked, we've talked about this during The Last Dance. I would have liked Jordan, Pippen, Rodman versus Shaq and Kobe.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That would have been
Laura,
fun.
That's yours.
Now I can speak, boy. Sorry. Yeah. That's mine. Yeah. Now I was like, MJ, Kobe, Shaq. Yeah. That would have been amazing.
Yeah, yeah, that to me would be in my top two or three for sure, just because I would have liked to have seen how that team would have faced off again, particularly Shaq. Like, how does Shaq, like, who guards Shaq, dude? You know what I mean? Like, I know they had like 37 centers on the bench or whatever it was, but none of them are messing with Shaq. Like, I would have liked to have seen how that one would have evolved for sure. ESPN Radio here on 710 ESPN is presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. So the other thing that I tweeted that's gotten a lot of interesting commentary here is a conversation you and I had, because Laura says today is on our show sheet says that today is National Sugar Cookie Day. And I think sugar cookies are a bad cookie. Like, I think it's just a boring ass cookie.
It's bland. There's nothing to it.
It's boring. It's boring as all hell. And then, we were talking about it before the show. Like, what's the worst cookie? Is it sugar cookie or oatmeal raisin? And you guys lied where on this?
Oh, it's definitely an oatmeal raisin. Oatmeal raisin cookie is a cereal squished together in a cookie shape.
Yeah,
it is not a cookie.
Oatmeal raisin is terrible. But I didn't realize that oatmeal raisin, by the way, is winning the poll at 58% right now over sugar cookie. Though sugar cookie still has 41%, which is impressive. And I'll say this. You're right about oatmeal raisin, but there are a lot of people defending oatmeal raisin on my timeline right now.
What is there to defend?
Thank you.
I mean, you're just monsters, basically, is what I would say.
I mean, there's no other way to put it.
Yeah, you're just monsters.
Gary Sheffield Jr. said those are his two favorite cookies.
Yeah, I mean, to him, like, what are you doing, Gary Sheffield Jr.? I mean, come on. What's wrong with you? I mean,
just nutty.
You know, your pops were my favorite players of all time. Like, how can you just do this to me? You know what I'm saying? All right, all guests like Clint Yates, who joins us in a moment, appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. You can vote on our poll on sugar cookie versus oatmeal cookie, which is worse. We'll take your cookie takes at 877-710-ESPN. Also, the NBA Finals, you wish you would have seen, 877-710-ESPN. Our buddy Clint Yates joins us next in 4 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710-ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. Pennzoil Synthetic Motor Oils are friends. Their motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Clint Yates giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. And I'm just going to let you go because you want to dive headfirst into cookie talk. Go ahead.
So here's the deal. There's a couple things that are happening here that I need to lay out that you all don't understand about what's going on with the cookie industry. And for those of us who care very much about our snackeration, how we operate here. Oatmeal cookies are defined as a ranking in the taxonomy of products with oatmeal, not cookies that are otherwise included as something else. Oatmeal cream pies, oatmeal beer, oatmeal cookies. That's where that sits, Gregory. So understand that in terms of now, if you don't like the cookie, okay, that's fine. But it's about the flavor coming from what is that brand on the other side of the palate, not just whether or not it should be a cookie. And number two, where on earth do I even get a sugar cookie? What is this, 1965? When did people start eating these again? I see sugar cookies, I think of like Forrest Gump and somebody about to tell me that I can't live in a certain neighborhood because I can't get a loan. That's what I think about when I think about sugar cookies.
I mean, really. Sugar cookies are around. Maybe this is because I have kids. Disneyland is a place where you have sugar cookies.
Okay, well, that's good to know that the mouse is still keeping the sugar cookie industry active. But as far as I remember, sugar cookies are a relic in the general cookie timeline. I am a soft batch chocolate chip guy. You know why? Because I like my cookies salty, which is why oatmeal cookies are not bad as well every now and again.
I mean, oatmeal raisin, though. I don't have an objection to an oatmeal cookie. I have the objection to the raisin. And the worst part is when I think it's actually a chocolate chip cookie and it's actually raisins, and then I bite into it and I'm unbelievably disappointed.
Well, this is where we get into the, like I said, the breakdown of the oatmeal brand. This isn't on cookies. I wouldn't want raisins in my Little Debbie's either. That'd be disgusting. You know what I'm saying? No, no knock to raisins. I'm just saying people got to understand the oatmeal brand is more than just cookies, and there's other things. Just know that. Okay.
All right. Fair enough.
How about that, Greg? What you got?
Well, yes, the oatmeal itself is good. I like the other parts of the brand, but it's all of that brand just kind of pushed together to make it into a cookie shape. It is not an actual cookie, especially when you add raisin. And George said it absolutely right. You bite into it thinking it's a chocolate chip cookie, and then you're like, oh, what am I eating?
What a disappointment.
It's not a good fit. Yeah, it's a bad flavor, bad taste. No, thanks.
Send me all the soft batch salty cookies. That's it's getting awkward. Let's move on.
It is. It is. No easy transition because I want to get to something a little more serious, clearly.
Yes, please.
This whole Steven Jackson, Deshaun Jackson situation, my very simple take on it is you can't rank suffering and tragedy, right? Like, to me, that is just a losing proposition. It should not be something that should be done in general. And equality has a very simple definition, right? And I think that if that's what we're all trying to achieve, that we have to be more understanding, more empathetic towards each other and not cannibalize each other, particularly amongst minorities, right? Like, I think that also is a losing proposition. But where are you on just kind of how this all evolved?
So I'm probably going to say this later on TV today, but I'll explain it now, which is that, honestly, I've learned a lot about myself in the past week, only because it's often very interesting to me when folks figure out things that other people do that they didn't know otherwise. And here's how I'll explain this. When I first heard Deshaun Jackson and sort of the follow-up to what Steven Jackson was saying, it ranked in my mind in a place that I would call sort of garden variety hotep. Meaning, you can look that up on your own, but like, within the black community, just like within a lot of communities, there are a large amount of just conspiracy theorist type fueled humans who say a lot of nonsense who nobody cares about. And this fell into that for me. But, you know, when I saw the reaction, obviously, from not just obviously many people in the Jewish community that I knew, it sort of occurred to me, like, you know, maybe this is respecting how I know I feel when the things that we have mainstreamed that are marginal to black folks are just kind of considered as acceptable, you know? And I think for the first time, I sort of looked at that as like, if I heard that guy saying that in the barbershop, you know what I'm saying? I probably would just tell him to shut up and move on. You see what I'm saying? But because it's Deshaun Jackson, because it's Steven Jackson at that level of communication, oh yeah, I think you've got to look at that very differently. And it's not about right and wrong in terms of ranking who's suffered more. It's about the fact that people got to understand that just because black people are black people doesn't mean that we haven't been socialized into some of the same extremely harmful methods of thinking and bigotrous methods of thinking that a lot of other people have, you know? And that's just another part of the facet of what we're trying to do to evolve as a people, is that, you know, just because you're black doesn't mean you can't have anti-Semitic views or vice versa, you know? And it's just been interesting for me to see how seriously people took this, as it should be as a topic, considering who it was coming from. And I've learned a lot about what people care about in terms of who thinks certain things about other people. And this is extremely important.
Yeah, no, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I do also like the fact that, you know, at least publicly, it seems like both men have understood maybe the error in their ways. I know Steven Jackson, I watched his interview yesterday on Don Lemon, and obviously I saw the DeSean Jackson post that he made, and I saw that, you know, he's already meeting with a rabbi in Philadelphia. You know what I'm saying? Like, he really is trying to immerse himself in understanding what he was saying and why it was inappropriate and why people objected to it.
And that's the move. I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, everything, listen, I mean, I don't think you need to meet me to sit up here and tell you that DeSean Jackson and Steven Jackson are wrong in their thinking. I mean, that's not, I don't know that anybody's debating that. And I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying in general, I think people got to understand that, like, yeah, man, a lot of people think a lot of things that are messed up, yo. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not something that is, how do I say this? It's not something that is unique to any particular subset of human beings. And that's why, you know, that's why we're trying to grow overall as people.
Yeah, agree wholeheartedly. One other thing we tackled before you came on the show was Kenny Smith's top 10. Did you hear this?
I saw this. I saw LeBron was in the double digits.
Well, he even said, LeBron is not in my top five. 10 maybe is what he said. 10 maybe.
What?
10 maybe. Maybe. And then when asked about Kobe, he said, Kobe's not in his top 10. 11 maybe. And I was like, I mean, look, I got Kobe 9, so I can't be really going nuts over 11. But like, still to not have both guys potentially in your top 10, I thought was strange for my guy, Kenny the Jet Smith, who I love, who I know is in Southern California and maybe listening right now. I love you, Kenny, but I can't agree with this. Clinton, where are you?
Kenny, if you're listening, please hear me out on this, my man. We love you. We've loved you since North Carolina, but you can stop repping for the old school at this point so definitively because you are the old school. We have to update our recipes, y'all. You know what I'm saying? I can't live in a world in which the smartest basketball minds on the television are telling me that LeBron James is the 10th best player in the history of the league. Y'all are watching different leagues as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I'm not like mad about it. I'm just saying that like at some point I gotta defrag the computer. I got to let these updates install, you know? And if we haven't updated to see that LeBron James is better than the 10th best player in the history of the league, what are we doing? I mean, I'm serious. Yeah, you know, I get it. Yeah. A lot of guys have a lot of history.
Yeah.
But those dudes ain't LeBron. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, LeBron is top one.
Yeah.
And I'd like to think I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
I'm not going to scream and yell on a mountaintop about that, but that's how I feel about it. And it's a pretty decent case. Maybe 10. What are we doing, Kenny? Come on, man.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not feeling that. I'm not feeling
not
that at
feeling
all.
It at all.
Not feeling it at all. And I love Kenny. Kenny is, see, Charles gets a lot of the credit on that show for being boisterous and bombastic and hilarious, right? And not to say he doesn't do some serious stuff that makes you think too, but Kenny is the guy that is like the glue on that roster right there. As much as Ernie is the glue, Kenny is also the glue amongst the analysts. And then he gives you the meat and potatoes analysis that you need. So that's why I'm more stunned. Like if Charles and Shaq said this, I'd be like, yeah, you know, it's just Charles and Shaq, right? But when Kenny said it, like it hurt me. It hurt me, Clinton, to the bone.
The thing is, though, is that where Kenny comes from informs a lot of this. And I get why Kenny reps the old school so hard. Kenny's from Queens. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The frack. Yeah. Y'all know about
Archbishop
that.
Archbishop Malloy.
You know? Kenny went to UNC, dog. You know what I mean? Kenny won a dunk contest when these things were on standard definition television. You know what I'm saying? He's got the props in the older school. And I mean this entirely. Like, Kenny Smith is a large part of the reason why sort of the old school of the NBA moved to the modern NBA of what it is in terms of the flash, in terms of the personalities, in terms of the style of play, and in terms of the guys. That's why he's on TV. But that's why he reps in those sort of concrete opinions. He's still holding on to stuff that mattered to him back when he was still creating the culture which we benefit from today. So I get it, Kenny. But get out of here with LeBron, maybe number 10. That don't make no sense.
All right. Coming up in 90 seconds, we'll discuss Fight Island and what you need to know. I want to get Clinton's NBA Finals dream matchup that never happened. And Randy Moss, oh man, he's saying the thing. We'll get to that in 90 seconds with Clinton.